This is KDNK Carbondale, Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. You're listening to GeekSpeak on KDNK. Support for GeekSpeak comes from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. Louie will pick up and deliver your hardware safely and sanitized. 948-7992. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going pretty good.
Good.
Beautiful spring day.
That's amazing. I hauled 20 bags of manure in my car to get my garden going.
Nice.
Now my car smells like shh.
Manure?
Manure, yeah.
Horse?
That's what I meant.
Cow.
Yeah. So, I even kind of smelled like it. I got to take a shower.
Well, that can be quite pungent. Yeah, I'm doing a little gardening myself, starting some creeping thyme, try to reduce my water usage in certain places that are hard to get to be watered properly.
Yeah.
You're listening to GeekSpeak on KDNK, 963-2976.
So I guess Facebook got hacked again.
Yes. Let's see here. So one of the places I use to see if I've been compromised, have I been pwned, PWNED, lists 2.52 million new accounts listed on their in their database from this.
2.5 million entries of people that got pwned? Is that what you mean?
Right. So they got so in April 2021, a large data set of 533 million Facebook users was made freely available for download, encompassing approximately 20% of Facebook's subscribers. The data was allegedly obtained by exploiting a vulnerability Facebook advises. They rectified in August 2019.
Okay. And what was the date of the breach? Was it today?
It was reported.
Okay.
So according to Facebook, they fixed the issue in 2019.
Oh.
But it just became public knowledge.
Oh, it just got. Oh, all right.
At least according to this, the latest one here from Have I Been Pwned?
That's slow news. So. Okay. You know, that's one of the things that bugs me about the internet is you look up these articles and you're like, because we tech guys use the internet as it's like a one big tech manual, you know, for our jobs. And you come across this article and it's like it exactly describes what the problem is. And then you look at the date and it's like 2011. And
you're oh, this is for Windows Vista.
I think I need to keep looking. So it's
I'd say it'd have about 20%.
Yeah.
Being able to use an old article like that, being able to go, all right, I'm going to use the old article and I will try to wing the parts that it misses that are out of date.
Well, you got to feel bad for somebody who has a product that where there was an issue involved with it, and there's even a bug fix for it that's 10 years old, and they haven't fixed it yet. So it's like, what are you doing? I mean, are you playing Fortnite? So
you're listening to GeekSpeak on KDNK, 963-2976.
Give us a call. We'll help you juggle your printer cables.
Boy,
virtually.
I was going to say, there's been a lot of printer jiggling lately.
Has there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Although, I think most of it was the tray was bad, and so it was not picking up the paper anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
You know, I was going to put it out there that I've been coming up against, you know, because printers just keep getting cheaper and cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And my impression is, you can correct me if you think or if you have other ideas about this, but basically one of the main ways that they're pulling this off is they've gotten rid of the little LCD display, and it's advertised as being a Wi-Fi compatible printer, but the process you have to go through to join that printer to your Wi-Fi network, you're going to basically get to know me or Matt on a first name basis, you know, because it's not easy for us, and it's just ridiculous.
My dad did this to our family the other month.
Yeah,
got a $60 printer, and it has the simplest little LCD on it. You know, it doesn't have a smart LCD.
Well, at least it has one. You know,
right? But all it has is number of copies, like how dark or light to make the copy,
uh-huh.
and like one other light on it to say that there's an error. And that's, you know, so it's like a 10 cent part.
Yeah.
It's like, can we get like a 50 cent part so I can, or maybe 12 cents if you're doing 100,000 or a million of them.
Yeah.
So it's like, can we just make it so I can type in, let's just drop the whole PWS thing. It just doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. The WPS.
WPS.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So let's just go look for the
every
SSID.
Now and then it does. Every, you know, but I mean, it's really to the point where we don't even try anymore. But
no, if it has the option to go look for SSID, I'm going to look for the SSID. Click on that. Fire in the password.
Yeah.
Hit say. Boom. Hit connect. Done.
Yeah.
No.
Exactly. No, the ones I'm talking about are the ones you have to plug a USB cable into, and then you have to download the 230 megabyte installer. For it, and then you have to install that, and then you basically go into the utility, and it'll let you go in and search for Wi-Fi networks. And so, anyway, it looks like we got a call.
You're on with the geeks. Hello.
I think we've been pwned.
I think we may have. All right, please call back if you're able.
Yeah.
We'll try this again.
Try to get the electrons moving. So
we may have.
I think I got cold feet right at the last minute.
Yep.
Because we are kind of scary.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK 963-2976.
Yeah. So, 533 million people got their information stolen. I came across a site you can go to check if you're, and it's particularly phone numbers. If you have your phone number posted on your Facebook profile, which I am here to urge people to not do that. I don't think anything good can come out of that. You know, if you're really connected to Facebook, you can pretty much get everything you need to get done through Facebook Messenger. But then there are those people that would say, don't do that. But
I refuse to put Facebook Messenger on any of my equipment.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know, there are a lot of different ways to communicate with people. And I mean, for God's sakes, you know, there's like this thing called the phone book, you know, on the internet. So, but anyway, let's see, the website address to check and see if your phone number got compromised is www.thenewseachday.com/facebook-phone-numbers-us. So, so that is that about that. And, we were talking about this article that artificial intelligence is being used now to Kurt Cobain is writing songs again via artificial intelligence. And
they're unleaded, I take it?
They've apparently put enough the musical DNA of Kurt Cobain's compositional style into an artificial intelligence program. And he's writing music again. So, anyway, I'd be interested. Oh, we got a call.
You're on with the geeks.
Oh, hey, geeks. It's Donna. How are you?
Good.
We're good. Donna, how are you?
Pretty good. You know, I heard you were talking about printers. I have a kind of a comment or a question.
Sure, sure.
You know, it's so funny because I just don't print that much anymore, you know? And I have this printer. From when I live, you know, it's probably 10 years old. It's you know, has toner, and it's very big, and it's perfectly fine, but it's just so big and heavy. Is there, like, a newer technology than just, you know, this one's a color toner.
Right? Yeah.
Laser printer. So is there, I know there's some newer types of technology. Do they use something different from toner these days?
You know, I find those EcoTank. I've installed a couple of those Epson EcoTank printers, and they're not going to be quite as cost effective as a powder based ink. But boy, I mean, they last a long time, and the tanks, the bottles, really are not that expensive.
Have you? Well, I guess they probably haven't been around long enough. I'd be curious because, for example, a laser jet like that, you can let it sit for a couple of years.
That's true. It doesn't dry out.
It doesn't dry out as long as it's not somewhere where it gets really hot, and so the toner fuses.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's good for, you know, until there's an electronics fail.
Yeah.
And I have a my family currently has one from 1998 that we're still using.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, wow. Like a LaserJet 4.
2100. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Nice. So like three versions after that, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So that'd be my question with the Eco Tank is like, so if you top it off and you let it sit for 4 months, does it have to do a head cleaning, or can it do a head cleaning at that point, or is it, you know, that's my thing is a lot of my clients don't print very often.
Yeah.
You know, so they print two or three, four times a year, and they print four or five pages, and the ink, any of the ink that I run into yet, and I don't have any experience with the Eco Tank ones, which look really interesting. If you do, if you're doing any volume of color printing, that looks like a decent option from what I've seen so far.
You know, it's really hard to get rid of the old stuff that works, you know.
Right.
I'm just going to put it in my basement in the closet. It's Wi-Fi. If I need it, just turn it on and, you know.
Exactly. It
connects to my Wi-Fi network and
print
something if I need to, and it's just kind of out of the way. Yeah. But the thing just, these things just don't die. You know, I think a few years ago I had to put a new fuser. What's it called? A new fuser?
Well, either a fuser or a drum. Usually the drum
assembly,
goes.
Yeah, one of those two I had to change. And I think I ordered it on the internet, but... and then I had to get a toner cartridge. You know, the color ones, I mean, if you think about it, these toner cartridges, each of them are kind of expensive, right?
Yeah.
But once you get the new toner cartridges, they last you for years.
Yeah, literally, like, what, 3,000 to 4,000 copies or five, you know, something like that.
Depending on the printer. So the entry-level ones for the printers that I usually recommend will do about 500 to 700 pages.
Yeah, the starter toner.
The starter one. Yeah. So it's like 500 to 700 pages for a normal person. That's a ream of paper. That's a couple of years down the road.
Yeah.
And then between 1,200 and 4,000, depending on what you get for the, you know, for the next one, for the big one. And then you're good for 5, 6, 10 years, whatever, depending on how much you print.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And
well, the good news, Donna, is I installed a Color LaserJet Pro M283 the other day for a client, and it's, you know, literally it's not a two-man lift anymore.
The entry level ones are definitely way lighter than they used to be.
It's got a much smaller footprint, much lighter, and does a good job. So when that old workhorse does go, there's a light at the end of the tunnel for you.
I will tell you too, you know, I have moved this laser printer around so much that one time I was carrying it, it kind of almost slipped. And sure enough, you know, the toner, if you turn it sideways or you turn the toner tends to come out.
Uh-huh.
So I opened it up and there was quite a bit. I just had to clean it up. It was fine. But, you know, people need to be kind of careful of that.
Yeah, I definitely keep them upright. The other thing I recommend, especially for those older, heavier units, is to get a sheet of like 3/4-inch plywood. If you're going to set them on like a, if you're going to set them somewhere that's not flat, make sure that you get them on a nice solid flat surface. It'll make them hold up way better if you're doing, you know, a reasonable number of prints through
it. Yeah. Some of them will even throw a false, paper jam if the paper tray is being pushed harder than the rest of the bottom of the printer.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I definitely recommend just getting, you know, a piece of countertop, a piece of 3/4-inch plywood, just something to make sure it's on a good flat surface if you don't have that option where you are currently. And, you know, just put that on top of the cabinet or whatever it is that you have the printer on. It'll make it hold up way better, and it'll stop paper jam issues and things like that from developing.
Okay, well, that's really good to know. And the other thing I was going to mention is that recently I got a bunch of old, like, 8mm and VHS tapes that I had from, you know, like my wedding.
Uh-huh.
Really old ones from the early 90s. I just had them converted to digital. And some of them I said, well, you can just convert these to a straight video, like an MP4. And then most of them I had them convert them so I could, so I could edit them. Because one of them, for example, was a year in the life. Right, it was from like 1993, and it was just had all these various video clips from, you know, various times throughout that year. So I wanted to be able to take parts out and edit it, but I was so used to doing that kind of thing on my Mac, but my Mac that I have right now, it's so old. It's like from 2012. I'm sure it's still fine. This is an iMac, but you think I could still use like iMovie or something and edit clips out of there? Is that, I don't know, does it, do they still have iMovie on there?
Well, you should be able to use iMovie. There's probably some other, I'm trying to think of what on that particular platform would be a better option, but kind of like an entry level. The one that comes to mind is DaVinci Resolve from Blackmagic Designs. It's free to use, and unless you want to do like color correction, then it's like $400.
Oh, okay.
So, but you know, major motion pictures have been made on that. It might be a little too much. But that being said, it's been kind of a major tool in the industry. There's probably plenty of places to find answers to your questions.
Oh, okay. It's called DaVinci?
DaVinci Resolve by Blackmagic Designs, I think.
Cool.
Might be worth a try. There's probably something that's easier to use, but that one will definitely have every tool that you want and then some. So
that's great. Yeah. Is that for Mac or PC or both?
All three. It's available for Mac, PC, and Linux.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Great. Okay.
So Donna, did you get your stuff digitized locally, or did you send it out to like Legacy Box or somebody?
You know what? I did it at Mike's Cameras in Boulder.
Oh, good.
I wanted to use a local place. I didn't want to mail it out, and you know, I got it done in just a few weeks.
My
sister sent hers out to Costco or something because she's in San Diego.
Uh huh.
And they mail it out. She still, you know, she just got it back. Like hers took like 6 or 8 weeks.
Oh wow.
And I don't know. I don't want, you know, these movies are too important to ship out, to mail out.
Yeah.
For me, you know, especially like now with the mail service. I mean, I there was a piece of mail I didn't get for a month. Can you imagine if your tapes are in the
warehouse?
Yeah, I had one in February that took more than a month, and I had to call the person who shipped it, and they called them, and then all of a sudden they found it, and it was on its way.
Yeah, right. So anyway, to me, these are too important to ship out, so I took it locally and just had them do it. And it was not really any more expensive or anything than, like, giving it to Costco.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but I'm super happy, and I got to see, you know, some clips of old friends and my parents, you know, and it's been really nice. So I highly recommend if you have any old videos, and they are getting, you know, they were pretty old, right? So 1991, 1993, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
They were getting fairly grainy.
Yeah.
So.
You know, what a lot of people don't know is that magnetic tape over time, it kind of depends on how it's being stored too, but unless it's being stored really carefully, it'll start to bond onto itself. And so the sooner the better. If you have that type of stuff that you want to digitize, the sooner you do it, the better. Otherwise, the people on the other end might have to go to extraordinary measures, and they will charge you extra. They basically put it in a special oven and bake it to get it to get the tape to come apart, so that they can spool it off and record, and you know, basically transfer the stuff off of it. So, it's
and, you know, I don't know. To me, I think I spent probably $130 after taxes and everything for five or six tapes. So for me, it was well worth it. You know?
Sure.
Not too much money. $5 each or something like that.
So my son, Brendan, just got done. The Carbondale Historical Society came across these two boxes of cassette tapes of, there was a radio personality on KDNK dating back to into the 80s, named Mary Ferguson. And she had the name of the show was, This I Remember. And, they basically had, paid my son to digitize, it was 115 cassettes.
Wow.
And it was, you know, at first it was like, oh, this will be a slam dunk. You can just, you know, put it in a cassette deck, click record on the computer and like, you know, just set it and forget it. But he got into listening, you know, because like a lot of them didn't start at a regular spot on the tape, so he'd have to listen. And then as soon as he got like started listening, it's like, oh, wow, that's my, you know, my friend so-and-so's grandfather, you know, and because she would interview all these different people.
Wow.
And before you know it, it's like, I mean, he's like, I feel like I know Mary Ferguson on a first name basis, you know.
That's
and
great.
And he knows a heck of a lot about Carbondale history. So those digitized versions of those tapes are going to be available, I think, on the Carbondale Historical Society's website.
Oh,
not too far down the road from here because the project's been finished. And so that kind of a fun version of what you're talking about. So,
okay, well, great. Yeah. Well, thanks, you guys.
Thanks for calling, Donna.
For the show. Okay,
yeah.
Talk to you later.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 963-2976.
Yeah, we still got a few minutes here.
For cable jigglings, printer
seven
problems.
To be exact, 7 minutes. Tick, tick, tick. So, so let's see, what else is on your docket there? Oh, we were going to talk a little bit about lightning season is coming up.
Yeah, I was going to say brownout season and lightning season are kind of coming up.
Exactly.
With, you get the late season snow with the leaves, and they touch the angry pixies, and the angry pixies get brown, and then your router stops working.
Yeah.
Or the opposite happens. The angry pixies up in the sky hit your house or hit nearby and go too hot on your router and zap it that way.
Yeah.
So
I'm gonna like, I'll play interviewer here and ask you, Matt, why should I go out and when I can get a $15 surge protector strip, why should I spend the $69 for that big heavy box that says battery backup or APC, UPS or whatever? Why should our listeners go out and pick up one of those instead of a $15 power strip that has a circuit breaker on it?
So if you're going to do anything, that's fine. Go with the surge suppressor. And it really comes down to the value of the equipment attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the other side of it is if you have your laptop, which has its own battery backup, basically, and then you have your modem and router, which may be the same device on a battery backup. If you're in the middle of a Zoom call and there's a little lightning strike and the power flickers, you don't have to wait for it to reboot. So really it's more of a convenience thing for me, being the value add of it.
Yeah.
The other side is, if you do have more valuable equipment like a computer or something like that, if a brownout does happen, it's able to fix the voltage and keep the computer running, as well as taking the brunt of that.
Yeah,
the brownout, so that you don't blow up your power supply. Because if you have a voltage lower than 100 volts, the power supply has to work really hard to take that voltage and make it the right voltage for the inside of the computer. And
then at a certain point, the smoke comes out.
Right. So if you apply too low of a voltage long enough where it's able to run, but it's not really enough to do it, eventually something's going to get really hot and the smoke's going to come out.
Yeah. And unless you can collect the smoke and put it back in, it ain't going
to
work anymore.
You're
going
to be calling one of us to fix it.
Exactly.
So
yeah, that's the problem. I learned the hard way about that. I came home one night a number of years ago during a brownout, and it had been a lengthy brownout. It was like had been brown for an hour.
Wow.
And I walked down into the family room, and I smelled that smell. And it was my VCR, and the poor little thing was doing its darndest to keep its stuff together. But man, the smoke came out, and I inhaled some of it. So
it wasn't good.
It wasn't good, and it's not going back in. So, bottom line is, I was explaining this to a client just before the show, and bottom line is, battery backup has the equivalent of a couple really big capacitors in it, which is not really that different than a battery. You know, a capacitor does a lot of the same things as a battery does.
Except for a capacitor is, you have the ability to create a very high rate of flow. So you can put the energy in really quick and get it out really quick.
Yeah.
Where a battery is much slower than that. So usually, you could do like 1,000 amps in and out of a capacitor, where you could do, out of a similarly sized battery might be 10 amps or less.
Exactly. And those capacitors basically act, a lot of people are familiar with the term buffering.
Exactly what it is.
Not in a good way.
this is.
But it basically performs buffering of a whole different type, where it basically makes sure that what's coming out of the back of the power of the UPS is a certified safe 110 volts all the time. And when it's not capable of delivering that, the thing just shuts down. So it doesn't subject your equipment's much happier with zero voltage than 87 volts.
Exactly.
For an extended period of time. So anyway, that's that story. And you know, it's only $69. It's, you know, yeah. And
well, and the convenience part of it is very nice. If the power flickers, and you know, your computer or your laptop is has battery and you know it's unaffected, you're not waiting for your router or your modem to reboot to get back onto your whatever you were doing at this point, since you know everyone's working from home that can.
Exactly. You know, I generally tell people that the closer you live to the end of the line as far as the power wiring goes, the more you need a battery backup on your thing. Because I literally had a customer up in Thomasville who told me, he said, you know, every time my neighbor makes a smoothie, my computer reboots. And it just goes to show you that, you know, it's all very fragile, especially when you get out around the outer limits. And if you have a battery backup, then it doesn't matter if your neighbor makes a smoothie or not, your computer won't reboot. Yep. So
we know what that means.
Look at that. Just burned up another perfectly good 25 minutes of your life listening to Geek Speak.
Yep. You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, in studio with Ludi, the computer guy.
Hey, thanks for running the board, Matt.
All right, we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yep. That would be the 19th. I can do math.
There we go.
Sweet. All right, don't touch your knob.